2. The practice of according with conditions requires sentient beings to let go of the self and follow karmic conditions. Be it happiness or suffering, everything arises out of conditions. If we gain good results or reputation, for example, it is because of what we have done in the past. What is obtained now would eventually be gone when the conditions are no more. Hence why be so elated. Gain and loss are derived from conditions, yet the mind is no more or less. Let us not be moved by the wind of joy, but calmly cultivate the way through this practice of according with conditions. The second practice deals with how we should accord with conditions. Born into this world, human existence is all about conditioning. We have no choice as to what conditions we are subjected to, be they good or bad, joyful or sorrowful. Just as we can only face the bitter cold in winter, we cannot escape the heat when it is hot. Likewise, we cannot covet only the good times and shun the bad times. That is why we must know how to accord with conditions and be adaptable. There is no I or me in living things, for they are all subject to conditioning. Both happiness and suffering are being experienced as they arise dependent on conditions. I or me refers to that which is able to control and determine. But as we cannot actually be our own master, there is effectively no I or me. The fact that we cannot be our own master is not something imposed upon us, but instead caused by our own past deeds or karma. Where there is karma, there is suffering, and karma can be wholesome or unwholesome. Wholesome karma, that is not without leakage, would entail further existence within the cycle of births and deaths. It is only when there is accomplishment of wholesome karma without leakage that there could be emancipation from the sea of suffering, the cycle of rebirths. It is due to the mix of wholesome karma with leakage and unwholesome karma we sustained in the past that both happiness and suffering are being experienced in this present life. This kind of happiness we experience is not ultimate. In the Buddhist textual analysis, this kind of happiness is considered as suffering pertaining to decay. It is so designated because such happiness is neither absolute nor eternal. It is constantly arising and subsiding, rendering it short-lived. Three kinds of suffering mentioned in the Buddhist text are suffering due to the unsatisfactory conditions of human existence, suffering pertaining to decay or ruin, as exemplified in the worldly happiness we know, suffering pertaining to the ongoing process of existence that involves no feeling of happiness or suffering. Proverbs such as, "There is none who is fine all the way, no flower that is always crimson," and "There is no banquet that never ends," are reminders that worldly happiness does not last and would eventually bring sadness and disappointment. It is, of course, not easy for us to have decided to spend several days of pure and simple living in this monastery. But there are many more people out there who are leading a life of revelry, chasing after material or sensual pleasures. Let us not judge whether this kind of lifestyle would bring happiness, but do we honestly think they really feel secure inside them? Chances are they feel agony within. Their mental complex may cause them to display flair and style before our eyes. They may dance beautifully or drink lavishly, but their hearts and minds are frail. What appear to be their joys are only fleeting snapshots of the moment that do not last. As for the practitioners, what constitute their happiness and suffering? For them, it is happiness when they have food, clothing, and the Dharma. Having only food, but not the Dharma, is for them half suffering and half happiness. Without both food and the Dharma, it is total suffering for them. Suffering and happiness for the practitioner is that simple. When the fourth patriarch first began to lead the monastic community, his only wish was to have a bite to eat to heal the ulcer, the ulcer being hunger. Once the problem of hunger is solved, the practitioner can focus on the practice. That is why happiness for the practitioner is nothing more than a bowl of rice and a place to live and cultivate. This is also considered as a practice on how one should accord with conditions. People today only speak of according with conditions, although they might not have given the phrase any serious thought. Bodhidharma provided us with an exposition on its meaning. The patriarch said that it is a method of cultivation. On practicing how to accord with conditions, it is realized that living beings do not have a self, for they are all conditioned by karma. Be it by happiness or suffering that is being experienced, both arise out of karma. Why do we have to accord with conditions? Who could ever be their own master? From the general to the particular environment, from birth right until death, there is hardly anything that we sentient beings could really be in charge of. Our lives keep changing in accord with our karmic forces. What are karmic forces? They are the effects caused by the accumulation of all kinds of wholesome and unwholesome deeds in our innumerable past lives. It is by way of such forces that we have come to incessantly transmigrate, sometimes being reborn in the celestial or human realms, at other times in the lower or unwholesome realms, never being able to exit the six paths of transmigration. In the process of transmigration, which elicits the perception of relative happiness, both happiness and suffering are being experienced. There is relatively more happiness in the celestial realm than in the human realm. It has always been like this, with happiness and suffering being experienced in the different realms of transmigration. If one's lifetime is relatively stable, the feeling of happiness and suffering might not be as strong and obvious. Such a life can be considered as one that is neither happy nor unhappy. Whether one feels happiness or not is actually dependent on both the subjective and objective conditions. All perceptions are not independent, but arise from the synergy of conditions. This can easily be verified by looking at things or happenings around us. None arises totally independent of causes and conditions. If the idea of origination being the result of causes and conditions is clearly within your every thought and well established in your frame of mind, then you have definitely seen the principle of interdependent co-arising of phenomena. And seeing this principle is seeing the Dharma and the Buddha. Being awakened, is this easy? Once you are able to truly see that nothing arises of its own, you are awakened.